It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Woo, Bob, it's cold out, brother. We got our first big winter storm here in West Michigan, and they do Stormageddon, and it generally, where we were anyway, it wasn't nearly as bad as they thought, but it is cold. But I'm Joppin, he's Barbecue Bob. You're listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, I never get too excited anymore when they start, the world is ending.
Yeah, due to a storm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's Michigan. Get a grip. Hey, welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves, still 14 years plus running. We're glad you take a little time to listen to our silliness and maybe pick up a few tips about how to operate the grill and smoke your meats and maybe prepare other foods that you happen to like or that we happen to like.
Yeah.
But that's what this whole thing's about, and we do appreciate your time. You can download the podcast at thegrillingguys.com if you've not got it on your phone. Conrad and the team will send it to you every week.
Yeah. So last week was Thanksgiving, right? And I wanted to share a story because it was something that happened that I was not expecting to happen, and I'd not like it not to happen to anybody else.
Conrad, yeah. I think it's sharing time.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, no, this is a tip for the grilling world, okay? You all heard me say I was going to spatchcock my turkey, and I set it on my grill. I cooked it on a Kamado, big green egg. And there's a device that separates the coals from the grate, so you get indirect heat, and it's called a plate setter. Mine is made out of cast iron, okay?
Because you got tired of replacing the ceramic ones.
Because I'd break them, right? They're brittle when they're hot or cold, and if you're handling them, they can break. So I went to Long Yard and bought a cast iron one many years ago, and it's perfect. So I got it in there, and of course I got my lump charcoal fire going below. The turkey's turning out perfect. It comes to my 170 degrees, and it's time to take it off. So I got two, 14-inch tong sets that I go under the thighs and up to the breast, and I'm going to lift the thing off.
Uh-oh.
One of the legs tore away, and the juice, I had that Otto's turkey that I had brined, and the juice hit that cast iron, which was, I don't know, several hundred degrees. Giant flare-up. I mean, burned the sleeve of my... I'm lucky I had on my gloves.
I noticed your eyebrows, your left
right,
eye.
Right, but it burned it burned my sleeve above the gloves. Oh. I mean, it was an immediate flash fire.
I think the eyebrows where his wife hits him with a frying pan.
Right, yeah. Okay. But I had one of my buddies standing right there. And I dropped it back down and backed away until the fire went down because it was violent. I mean, it was coming off there perfect. He's standing there holding the platter, and all of a sudden that leg popped, and that juice just flooded down and hit that cast iron that was 500-600 degrees, and oh, my God.
That's too bad because if you could have let that thing rest with all that juice, it would have been even better.
Right, yeah, I know. And I was so, I had the big long tongs being so careful, breaking it off slow, and it just wobbled and that stuff cut loose, man. Woo.
Oh, so it was seared, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah, right. It cauterized itself.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. But it was still wonderful. But and nobody got really hurt because I had the gloves on and protected me. But
just your feelings.
Yeah, and if I had not had the gloves on, I might have been in the hospital.
There's the best
because
lesson.
The burn would have been crazy.
You've had some other flare up stories.
Let's let that be a lesson for all you amateur grillers out there.
Well, that's exactly right.
We're all amateurs.
Let Jop take it for the team.
Right, and I've done this dozens of times, and we always talk about, hey, spatchcock it, you're going to really like it. Just be careful because I'm fine.
So
no
was
harm,
it skin
no foul.
Side down when you finish.
No. Uh-uh. I leave it. I just put the open chest side down, and
how did the turkey turn out?
It was fantastic. Yeah. It really was. And Tim Sobey turned me on to a new brining and seasoning kit, and it was fantastic. Great flavor. Very juicy still. You know what I did though? I got my power fillet knife out. I have a electric fillet knife, mm-hmm. and I carved it with that. Holy cow, is that slick, man. It just like butter. man, just going right through there, getting nice thin slices.
We had one of those from the 70s we still use.
Yeah,
you know,
this one, with the cord.
Mine's cordless because it was for, you know, when I walleye fish in the spring, you got to clean a lot of fish. But anyway, no, it worked like butter. Man, just wonderful, wonderful. But I wanted to share that because it can happen to anybody. I thought I was on board knowing what I was doing, and she backfired a little bit.
Wow, so, that's quite the tale.
Right. But just be careful. That's all. Anything can happen.
The snow hit, and it just changes everything when you live in the country. I live in the woods, as you all know, and you don't have – I mean, you have areas where you stash smokers and stuff off in the woods, and the snow changes everything.
Yeah.
Because even though I have a big mule, big, you know, four-seater mule and
– Side-by-side thing. Yeah,
and all these four-wheel drive cars and – It doesn't matter when you get in the, and I'm in the hills.
Yep.
When you get in the hills in snow,
slippery.
Everything changes.
Yeah, yeah. What couldn't you get at that you wanted to?
Oh, doesn't matter. I've got the barn project going on there, and I've got a bunch of steel for the roof left over that I'm going to do some extra work with that's in the way that should have been moved before the snow.
Yeah. Well, this weekend.
So I can't get in the barn now.
Yeah. Today and tomorrow is supposed to be in the mid-40s. Maybe you get a little melt off a little bit, at least where we are.
Good.
And then you can get at it. But that's the thing. You got to get at it.
Well, and that's kind of, I guess, why I'm lamenting is I generally process a lot of firewood. And because I have one of my kids and his family living in the lower level this year, or right now, they're selling their house and. If I burn the fireplace, the basement freezes, and I can't have my grandkids freezing.
Well, no, that's true. So you got to have the furnace on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the wood, not such a big deal.
Yeah. Speaking of wood, I need some more hickory limbs from you. I'm down to the part where they're just a little too big to throw in there. They smoke too long. I could cut them up, but I know that you've got those little four or five inch limbs.
Not any longer.
No.
But there are. If you come out, you can. I'll show you where to go.
Okay.
Instead of telling you where to go.
Oh well, you're talking about me being tough to go through the woods. Now you're going to sick me out there, right? Yeah. All right.
No, I'll do that for you.
Yeah. Can't you just cut my firewood? You know, it'd be good if you deliver it too, Bob. Yeah.
I think I do. So Christmas party plans. Lots of them were. We're doing a truncated Christmas this year, and it's, you know, when you got a large family and now all these in-laws and grandkids and stuff, and people are going to do Christmas at home or whatever, it gets a little tricky. So we're making our plans to be all over the place for a week.
Yeah, it changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's all good. I mean, it's a natural progression of a family, and we had two Thanksgivings, right? Because the kids got to go one direction one day and one direction the next, so it just comes with the territory, man.
I'll be firing up the trailer smoker next weekend because I'm going to be doing butts for Schmo's Mug Club party.
Oh, cool!
Their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, good.
And I have a charity to deliver. So
okay, I got one too, but it's only 25 people. Oh. So I'm going to just do it on the butts on the pellet grill, and then they want chicken too. So probably do that on the pellet grill as well. Butts might go on a big green egg, but it's not that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, one butt for this one. It's a bunch of church ladies. They don't eat big.
I had quite a time processing all that venison, and I had a great experience, which we can talk about later on,
okay.
Maybe, about my sausage-making process and how it turned out and I learned a lot. It's been a long time since I made sausage, and I before always had a big grinder and Rob Russell with me, and we were doing classes and whatever. Now when you're doing it yourself in your kitchen by yourself with a small little kitchen job, it changes everything.
You know, Bob, I don't think it's been that long. Pretty much every week we make sausage. You just throw a bunch of junk in, and it turns out tasty, right? That's the Grilling Guys show.
I want to hear about
week,
Bob's
man.
Sausage. You
well,
know,
we,
so.
Conrad? That's a loaded question, but we're going to hear about it, I guarantee. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And coming up next, we're going to talk about, Jim is going to join us from Schmoes, talk about that 20-year anniversary.
Yeah,
Stick with us. We'll be back.
The guy you hear on the commercials.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoes Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoes, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoes. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit GarrettsAppliances.com. That's GarrettsAppliances.com. Now hit me.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the time of year where you get together with old friends and you share some memories and you create some new ones. And Bob, we've got on the live line right now one of our oldest friends of this show. It's Jim Shireen, the proprietor from Schmoes Brewery. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, you've got a big... marker coming up for your business. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, coming up later this month, we're having our 20th year anniversary for being open to Schmoes. It's been an amazing ride.
There's not a lot of brewers that can say that,
right?
Nope.
So, Jim, give us if our listeners don't know, and they should, because you've been with us since the beginning, and we so much appreciate your partnership with the Grilling Guys, but tell us a little history about the Schmoes. 20 years is a long time to be in the brewing business. It's changed tremendously over that period of time, and you've ridden the storm, so to speak. So why don't you just reflect a little bit on how Schmoes is from where it started to where it is today?
It's been an amazing ride. It started out, you know, with the aspirations of growing big like some of the other big guys, and we started on that curve. Never really fully got to that point, probably due to just not us spending a lot of money. And I think that's what hurt a lot of the big guys, because they got into it and things started to grow. The market really took off, and people started to invest and expand, and then the market dropped. And we didn't go down that path. I'll give her the blame. My wife kind of helped put the reins on me and kept me under control.
Well, you know what? Good for her, because we watched and we had, partners and other breweries that did that, and they invested big. Here's what you didn't do. You didn't borrow a whole bunch of money, and that's why you're still here, because the banks will take you out.
Right. Yep. Slow and steady wins the race. True. Yeah. Yep. So Jim, the evolution of your beer, 20 years – from where you started to where you are now, there's a lot of things that have changed, I'm sure. And tell us what you thought you were going to be making, and then where you end up today, and what are the popular varieties that you're serving.
Yeah, what's funny is there's some beers that we started making literally 20 years ago we still have on tap today. Our Valley City Cream Ale was the very first beer we brewed, and that's been on tap almost every day ever since. There were only a couple of hiccups it wasn't on tap for a bit. But.
And I will tell you that if you're listening and you've never been to a microbrewery or never been to Schmoes, and somebody in your party says, well, I don't like micro, you know, they're too strong. That is a beautiful, mild, if your wife likes drinking Coors or something like that, you can give her a Valley City Cream Ale and she'll just go, wow, that's even better.
Yep. Yeah, we consider that our gateway beer. We bring people in with that. They drink a couple of those, and then they go back home, and their domestic beers don't quite taste the same anymore. And then they come in and look for something more, and we advance them on to the red beers and then the dark beers. It's been fun. But we've developed a lot of different beers over the years. You know, our Scotch Ale was developed, Miracle was developed. Those are very popular. One of the biggest challenges we have is we come up with a beer. Everybody likes it. Says you got to keep this year round, and I've only got so many taps. There's only so many beers I can keep year round. So
right.
We try that balancing act of hitting what the customers want, but also keeping the variety out there because they like that as well.
All right. So you're taking your 20th anniversary, and you're celebrating with your mug club, and mug clubs, of course, for breweries are a great thing. Tell us what you're doing for the mug club members.
Well, we do a mug club party. We try to do like four of those a year as a group. We set it up as a potluck. Everybody brings in a little dish to pass, and we offer good pricing on the beers. There's a big discount on the beers for them to come in, and basically we just sit around and relax. Usually an event associated with it. We do a Super Bowl party in the winter. On the 15th, we're doing one with our group, and we're going to be watching the Lions play. Hopefully they can beat the Bills on that Sunday. But we sit around, we watch the TV, we play cards, we socialize. It's a good family gathering, and the folks at Schmoes are just amazing. Like I said, and I'm not doing anything major for the general public because it's the Schmoes members that got us 20 years. If it weren't for those folks, we wouldn't have survived. Those people take care of me. And the brewery, like it's their own. So it's pretty special.
So if people are hearing this and they want to come down to Schmoes and join that mug club, what do they do?
It's just, you come in and we our mug club membership, it's a $45 per year membership, which is not much to look at. I mean, you get $1 off your beers, you get $1 off growler fills.
I think it was 45 when you started.
yeah, we haven't changed that. Yeah.
Guy like you and me, Bob, 1 month, $1 off, we'll have her paid for, right?
Yeah.
So, what a deal.
The folks come in there, they do the math real quick, and they figure out it's a good deal if they're in the area. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jim, you mentioned earlier that you can't keep all your beers on tap all the time, and some of them are seasonal. You have one that I've grown to love, and it's the Miracle off 28th Street. Is that back? That's a holiday beer, right?
That is a holiday beer, and unfortunately that did not get on the schedule this year.
Okay.
We had to limit things just due to some other things going on.
It.
We had some challenges, and we had to make some decisions, and the Scotch Ale took precedence. But I will promise that will be back on the brew schedule for next fall.
Well, your Scotch Ale is somewhat like it. I mean, I would call Miracle kind of an old English style or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what it's an old ale style, so it's not real bitter. It's just very, very mild, got a little chocolatey flavor to it, a little bit of a kick to it because the alcohol's up there about 8.5%. So it warms you up in the wintertime.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it's like drinking bread.
So the Scotch Ale is the seasonal that's on right now.
Yes, we have the Scotch Ale on. We also brought the Coconut Crusher out again for this Christmas time. It's a toasted coconut stout, which is. We could describe it as like an Almond Joy candy bar. It's amazing the flavors that come through on that.
It's funny how many people like that. I remember when that first came out, and I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, it's popular.
Right. Really good.
It is good.
Really good.
Well, we're going to – I'm at least going to be showing up, and I'm going to bring in some barbecue. So make sure you have a little space for me to bring some hog in.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that in – I would like to invite anybody that's ever been a member of Schmoes, even if you're not a current member at Schmoes, you guys are welcome on the 15th. We're starting about 4 o'clock. So you come on out, hang out with us. I'm sure there's people in there that you met when you were in many, many years ago, because we've got a few members that are actually hitting their 20-year anniversary as well. So
wow. Yep. All right. Make sure you tell me who those are. We're going to load them up with some barbecue.
Yeah.
Yep, we can do that.
All right. Jim, thanks so much. Schmoes Brewing Company, easy for you to say. Tell us again where you're at.
We're at 2600 Patterson. We're just south of the Patterson Ice Arena, just north of 28th Street.
So that's in Grand Rapids. If you're coming in from any other markets that listen to this, when you're coming in on 96, you get off on the 28th Street exit and head west. About a half mile, Patterson's right there, and just take a right.
Yeah, yeah. We're less than a mile off the highway, so it's real close, real convenient.
Great. All right. Jim Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Coming up next, what do you need after a good Schmoe's beer? Maybe you want to talk about Bob's sausage. Your list of grilling guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
That guy.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. If you just are tuning in, you just missed our interview with Jim Shireen. He's the proprietor at Schmoe's Brewery, celebrating their 20th anniversary. Bob, Schmoe's has done it right. Is it slow and steady wins the race?
And he gave some of the credit to his wife Lori too, who has been his right hand.
Sure, yep,
man.
Right, and they've been with us for well over 10 years, and they're going to continue to do so. They're just a great partner of the Grilling Guys.
Yeah,
but Bob, you went out deer hunting and you were successful. And as I understand, your boys each got one as well. They've got their own families now, but sounds like you've been processing a little bit of that deer.
Yeah, well, you know, my wife has one of those big countertop mixers, whatever the
KitchenAid
deal.
Yeah.
And I think for Christmas 10 years ago, maybe you bought me the meat grinder for it,
right?
And I've used that a few times, but not nearly enough. So I decided this year I'm going to make a bunch of sausage. So I cut off a bunch of steaks. I took a bunch of trimmings for jerky, which turned out great, and went way too fast. I mean, one deer is not enough, so fortunately we have a couple more now. And then I ground the rest. And, you know, I buy a cow every year.
Right.
And the slaughtering house is Smith & Sons up in Mount Pleasant. He always bags up the suet or the beef fat for me.
Right.
Beautiful chunks. I mean, this farmer I buy the cow from every year, he fattens them up. Now he's using stale cops and donuts.
Oh, yeah.
He was using candy bars because he's a bear hunter and he buys stuff like that for
me.
Well, so these are fat cows and there's a lot of suet. So I took those chunks of suet, which I keep in the freezer, and I cut them up and put them through the grinder. I would do, you know, several sections of meat and then some chunks of fat and just keep building it up like that. And it was actually a kind of a beautiful thing to watch because it's just this beautiful deep red meat and then the fat. But one of the big deals, in my opinion, is, again, the way I process the deer. I skin it and then I bone it on site and I bag it and put it in coolers.
Okay.
And it sits for about 4 days on ice.
Okay.
When I pull those chunks of meat out, it almost looks like pork. It's bled so much that it's a light-colored meat.
Okay.
And I maintain that getting all that blood out of there is one of the keys to great flavor for venison.
Right. It's not nearly as strong when you have that that way.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And so so I did all that, and I went down to Kent Butcher Supply.
Okay.
Which is in Wyoming, Michigan, by the Granville Mall.
Yep.
Down around there. And I bought several different packets of seasoning, and one was a hot Italian, and one was breakfast, because my buddy has his deer down up north at Ebel's every year, and they do a breakfast sausage for him.
Sure.
It was amazingly good. I never knew you could make breakfast sausage with venison.
Right.
So I did the same thing.
So it's just a seasoning profile.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then on the breakfast sausage, I went a little heavier on the fat, and oh my goodness. It's I forgot to bring you a pack, but it's
that always happens, Conrad.
It's so
you
good.
Know, it's just like I forgot. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's amazingly good. And then the Italian sausage I have not tried yet. I froze it all. So I've got that Cryovac machine. And the Kent Butcher Supply also sold me a bulk packs of the big bags.
Sure.
Very good price. So I took the little wax paper wraps that I used in the kitchen, and I put the portions on there, folded it, slid them into the bags. Really great tip, by the way. Prevents freezer burn, which I don't get anyway. But because my freezer's like 60 years old, it doesn't defrost.
Yeah, I got one of those too. Sears and Roebuck, mine is. Yeah. And man, that thing runs like a tank. And it you know, I defrost it once a year just because you open
to.
The door,
yeah,
open the lid too many times. But
but putting that wax paper around it and then sealing it just made it very easy to put in.
Yeah, because it doesn't stick and it doesn't get all over everything.
And I could
yeah.
portion it, fold it, slide it right in, throw it in the machine, and it makes a bunch of noise and then just pshew,
yeah,
and it's sucked perfectly clean of oxygen.
Yep.
And it stacks in the freezer really nicely when you do that.
Yeah, right. You make them a little bit flatter so yep. They can stack right up and easy to store and easy to get out of there too. And they don't freeze together other stuff.
I'll get you an invite to our family Christmas party, which is not going to be Christmas Eve this year.
That's right.
And then you can come out for that and make sure you take a walk down to the freezer with me.
Right. Well, you better have some cooking. Just I don't even care if it's the middle of the night, man.
I'll do the hot Italian for the party.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's
who
good.
Doesn't like a hot Italian?
Far be it from me to say.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, so you've had the breakfast sausage, served it to the family.
Oh my gosh, I was shocked because I was a little doubtful because the stuff my buddy had was so good. And I called him up and I said, "So this guy that processes yours, where do you suppose his seasoning come from?" He said, "Kent Butcher Supply. It's the same recipe."
Yeah. Yep. So do you have to buy a bunch of that? I've not been to Kent Butcher Supply.
They have all sorts of sizes of packages.
Nice.
It's a phenomenal place to go.
And did they clue you in, or was it directions on the package or something?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And how much meat to
one
put in with this much
one packet was good for 25 pounds.
Oh, okay. So and that's a lot.
Well, I used a half a package.
Right.
Because I figured I had between 10 to 13 pounds.
Okay.
I used a half a pack of seasoning. It turned out perfect. I cryovac the rest of it, and I gave it to my son so he could do it himself. And he's got my grinder now, too.
Okay, so help me out. You ground the meat, and you ground the beef tallow with it. When did you put the seasoning in the meat?
As I went along. As it built up, I just kept layering it.
Okay, but not through the grinder, but
no,
after
not
the meat's
the
out
grinder,
of the grinder.
Not through the
you're
grinder.
Sprinkling
I
it
just
on.
Sprinkled it on top so I could sort of gauge it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just kept layering it, and then I didn't mix it or anything. I grabbed a handful that looked like about a pound,
yep.
put it on the wax, folded it up nicely, patted it down, slid it in the bag. It was just a great process. And if you have a little seal-a-meal thing at home, and everybody has them, you can do the same thing.
Right. Yep. Bob's is commercial when we had the barbecue shop open that we grabbed one of those. And yours is industrial.
Yeah, Chef Andy found that one for me.
But anyway, I've got one from Cabela's, I think, that works just fine.
Yeah.
And I you know, all of us that go to the big box stores and buy stuff, whether it's meat or cheeses or even vegetables, you can throw them in those things and you buy bulk and you can put them up in serving sizes. It's just really a tool for a grilling guy. It's something good. Leftovers works great for leftovers.
Yeah.
I did a big event that a bunch of people didn't show up, and I brought back a whole pan of pulled pork. I put them in
Perfect.
Little 1 pound packages,
Perfect.
All cooked. And then when I pull them out, I throw them in the sous vide.
And here's the key
go,
when
man.
You're doing that too is flatten those things out
because yep.
they fit in the freezer much more efficiently.
Right,
and they stack.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. For pulled pork, brisket, anything like that, it works absolutely great.
Yep.
And it is time for brisket, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment.
Yeah.
Because this kind of weather. That, to me, is just great cold weather food.
It is. And so many people wonder how to make it. And honestly, if you're listening, it's not the toughest piece of meat to make if you just do two or three things right. And we'll talk about that in the next segment because everybody loves brisket. I've got a group of ladies at a Latvian church that I'm feeding a week from Sunday, and that's what they wanted was brisket and chicken. So we're gonna
my kind of girls.
Yeah, that's right. They told me the average age is about 75. So I'm gonna
close to my kind of girl.
I gotta make it tender. That's all I'm saying. But anyway.
Well, you do anyway.
So yeah, but it'll be good, and we'll cover that.
Yeah, but that's a great tip if you have all these parties coming up right now. If you don't have a seal a meal deal. Go grab one. You can get them everywhere,
and they're on sale right this time of year too. Yeah,
and you might. pay attention when you're buying the bags. If you have a sous vide, that's a great time to get your stuff ready for sous vide.
Yeah. And what the great thing about that is I take a frozen bag of that pulled pork out, you put it in a sous vide, set it on 140 degrees, and it could set in there 3 hours, it could set in there all day, and it's not going to get hurt. And when you're ready to eat it, it's 140 degrees.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it doesn't dry out.
Right. Yeah. Underwater. Wonder why it doesn't. But anyway. So once again, we are going to cover the brisket in the next segment, and Bob's got some party treats, and I do too, for what I've done with brisket. Everybody knows it's just great on a plate, but there's a lot of other things you can do with it too. You're listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. We also offer catering. From baked goods and coffee to sandwich platters and salads, we have something for everyone and every occasion. Let us make your next meeting or event simple and easy. We also can deliver. Check out our menu online or give us a call. Mention the Grilling Guys and receive a free cookie tray on your first order. Wealthy Street Bakery, your local caterer. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and it's a little chilly out, but the where we are anyway, the weather broke a little bit, and it's warming up. Things are starting to melt. You can get out in your backyard still, fire up a grill or a smoker. One of the things that people ask us a lot about is brisket. It seems to be, I think, for two reasons. One is it's not something that you grill all the time or smoke, really. I don't ever grill it. I smoke it all the time. But secondly, it's more south. The brisket's from the south. And third, you're looking at about $70 to $100 to buy one.
Yeah.
So people are intimidated.
They're afraid
a little bit
of it. And yeah. And the first one you do, don't count on it being great.
Right.
I remember my first one, and I couldn't have screwed it up worse. But so there's hope. And if you want to get some tips on how to do a brisket, go to thegrillingguys.com and go up in the search bar in the top right and just put in brisket techniques or brisket smoking, brisket anything. And you'll find all sorts of shows, and we'll walk you through that. But if you have a bunch of brisket that you're going to make, or you're just going to make a flat or whatever, and you want to do some treats, one nice thing to do is tacos.
Oh, yeah.
Brisket tacos. And there's so many different ways you can do brisket tacos, but you can just use your imagination. But it's different than other tacos you'll make, and You can slice it, you can chop it, you can do it however you want, but tacos are popular everywhere.
Right. I've got one that's a derivative of that, too. It's a roasted poblano brisket dip. Okay, any cream cheese dip, you got some onion in it, but you use brisket as the meat for this, and then you can either buy it or make it the queso, right? And you mix that in together, and then you put on top of it a layer of diced green onions, and some pepper jack cheese, and you throw that thing in the oven or in your smoker, and I do it in a cast iron skillet. But it's different than a buffalo chicken dip. It's a brisket dip.
Yeah,
and if you've
a little
got,
milder.
Right, it's a little milder. But the second piece of that is a lot of times when you're cutting brisket, if you've done it right, there's lots of little trimmings and crumblings. You know, you cut a slice, and one of them, maybe the end got a little bit overdone, and it breaks up. This is perfect for sprinkling that brisket through there, as opposed to your slices that you want to serve as a meal.
That sounds good.
Great use.
Another thing you can do with briskets is you can get the small or any size you want, really.
Yep.
Tortillas.
Oh.
Flour tortilla shells, and you can put brisket and cheddar and green pepper and onion in there and wrap it up, and then quickly grill it. Put it on a griddle.
Yeah.
If you have a flat top or even cast iron, whatever you want to do. And just roll it a little bit, and it'll kind of cauterize and seal itself up. And then you can pull them out in whole, and you can cut them up into sections. Makes for a really good-looking log to have on display.
Yeah, Right. Because if you use the 12-inch tortillas, you know, you get lots of slices of it, and maybe you leave 3 inches on the end and slice up the rest of it and spread it out a little bit. It's just a really pretty presentation on a plate.
I know you've talked about your little pita triangle pieces that you like to.
Right, yep. I buy those. The Stacy's, I believe, is the brand. That they're little pita points. And then I just put a little, this time of year, my wife and I really love this cheese called Borzen.
Yeah.
And you can buy it. And it's in
great
a little square box.
Kitchen secret.
Yeah, little square box. You just put a little dab of that on top of a brisket on that pita chip. And it's got a it's a goat cheese.
Or if
but
you're
it's
doing
creamy.
Hors d'oeuvres, you could even put that on the pita and then put your brisket on top of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yep, the three of them. The three of them. Let it stick. And if you wanted to throw that in the oven for a minute or two to warm it up and maybe melt that cheese a little bit, really good bites. And nice. You know, they're little pieces of brisket. Again, if you got stuff other than your slices, to
here's something I'm going to be trying for our family Christmas. Is I'm going to do potato skins, brisket loaded potato skins.
Oh,
because I love potato skins, but we always use bacon.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great combination because you got the cheddar, you got potato, you got a whole meal in like a potato skin.
Right.
And I just love brisket.
Yeah, and those would be like chopped then. You'd take a piece of it and chop it up into little pieces to put it on there?
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out because I haven't done that yet. But but the thing our kids and our family is very fond of is nachos. And
oh, yeah.
When I had the kitchen open, I was doing brisket nachos. And for those, that was really easy. For those, I was making like a cheese sauce, and I would pour a little bit on the chips. I would put my then use chopped brisket. I'd put the chopped brisket on, and then put a little more cheese on top, and then put jalapenos and peppers and onion or whatever you want to put on your nachos, tomatoes.
Yeah,
and it's the brisket nachos were so popular.
Yeah, I've got one that's a little off the grid, but my wife and I love deviled eggs, right? Well, a deviled egg is a deviled egg is a deviled egg, but you can play with them a little bit and have some fun. Chopped up brisket, a little bit of green onion, and put that in the smoker. Just make them the regular deviled eggs, put the chopped onion and a little bit of that brisket on top of it. It kind of sticks good because the yolk mixture is sticky, right? You put that in the smoker for about 15 minutes. The eggs, the whites will suck up that smoke, and it just gives it a completely different flavor profile, and it's wonderful. And they're easy to make because everything is already made. You just put it together, put it on there. You could even put a little cheese on top of those if you want to just sprinkle a couple little shreds of cheese.
Cheese works with everything.
Yeah, man. But that's a smoked deviled egg. That's kind of out there, but if you put them on your table, people are going to go, wow, I've never had anything like this, and they're good.
So you had teased in the last segment that if you've never done a brisket, we can help you. It can be really simple, and if you wanted, even if you don't have a smoker, if you just have a grill, you can grill in an offset. Everybody has a Weber kettle or some sort of a charcoal grill, and if you don't, it's a good Christmas present.
Right.
$250. And you can simply put your brisket flat. You can just the way it is, just put it fat side down, season it. If you have a jacquard, you can penetrate that with a jacquard, put your spices on, and then put it in that smoker for, oh, I don't know, 5-6 hours. And if it's cold out, so it might be too much maintenance for you, you can pull it off. You can wrap it in butcher paper, and you can put it in the oven at 195 and just let that thing ride for 4 or 5 hours until that meat's at 195. Pull it, leave it wrapped for a half hour on the counter, let it settle, let those juices redistribute, and then pull it out and slice it up on a vertical, on a diagonal. And
you want to go across the grain on that, not with it. Go across the grain.
And do your first one like that. It's very easy. You'll be thrilled.
Right.
Just use some good flavor wood on your charcoal. Don't use briquettes. Use lump charcoal and find a nice flavor wood. Don't buy these bags of chips, okay? They're horrible. They're musty. They're stinky. Some of these phonies online will tell you to soak them in water. That's nonsense. if you do and you pull them out, you'll smell the swamp that you've just built.
Right.
So just get, you know, a friend like Jop Scott that'll give you some hickory or some whatever.
Well, he's not
like
a great friend because he makes me go in the woods to get it. If he's a great friend, he'd deliver it.
This will be the first time that I've ever asked you to do any work.
But can I borrow your chainsaw? No?
Yeah. If you come over, we'll take a little walk in the woods. Trust me.
No, that's great. I appreciate it because there's nothing better than Michigan hickory.
Oh,
and you've got
favorite.
Some standing dead, so it's ready to go when it comes down. It's perfect.
And I've got some that I'm taking down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I need some help.
Yeah, sure. Happy to do it. I'll yell timber as I run the other direction.
All you have to do is drive the Tahoe with the tow rope on it.
Right.
And
not hit a tree.
Help that thing go in the direction we got to go in. I've got a little technique I've developed, and it works quite well to get rid of trees without taking the power lines out, which I did once.
Yeah. And you took I saw you towed the smoker out of the woods one time, and you took a thermometer off the side of it.
But that can happen.
That happens, right? Slippery. But anyway, Bob, last thing on the brisket is that there's Packer briskets, which have this flat that you talked about.
It's a full brisket.
It's a full brisket. And then on the other end, they call it the point or the deckel, and it's three times as thick as that flat part.
Otherwise known as heavenly.
Right. And they cook differently. And that's all I wanted to talk about. Or you can find that again on thegrillingguys.com. But that thin piece, you want to separate that from the thick piece at some point during the cook or even before you start.
What I do is if you lay it out, it looks like kind of like a big fish or something with a head at one end and the flat part on the other end. See where that flat part starts going up?
Right.
And just cut that part off.
Right.
Smoke them separately.
Right. Because the thick one's going to take more time than the thin one. You don't want to overdo either one of them.
No.
So you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Man, it's the end of the show already, and we had a lot of fun. We hope you did, too.
Don't forget to go to thegrillingguys.com. Look on the right side. You'll see all our sponsors. Click on the link. You get your Christmas sales, Christmas specials, MyPillow, ThermoPen, all these people, Old World Olive Company. They're all there.
All right. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.